every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at SteenOnSports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website is 1700thechamp.com. This week on the radio show after us, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Twins and Athletics. And then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Twins are at the Mariners. They're coming out of the All-Star break and have a couple of road games out there against the A's and the Mariners. So good luck to them. It's All-Star week. We're going to talk about that a little bit here coming up in the show. As always, want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Heritage Building Maintenance for being sponsors of our show. We also have been talking a lot about, and I'm sorry I do this, but it has to be golf-related, right? For homeless veterans, Central Iowa Shelter and Services, CISS, is hosting their fifth annual For Homeless Veterans golf outing, benefiting the homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with them in their emergency shelter. We'll talk more about that. It's on July 31st at Legacy Golf Club in New York. It's a cause that I'm I love doing stuff for. We've really enjoyed working with Melissa. It's also something that I work with Eric Mangels as well. It's just something that we feel is needed and it's just a really good cause. And when you go down and you see the things they do and the outreach they have and everything, combined with everybody else trying to help with all these things. And it seems really weird that, you know, we had a weekend and I came into work today and I'm like, you know, for a nice, relaxing weekend. Got to see one of my good friend's son get married this weekend. Had a good time seeing some people I haven't seen for a while. And you see all that, and it just seemed like a dark weekend. You just had a lot of dark stuff going on. And, you know, just some of the attitudes and some of the things that are happening in the world. And you're like, man, this stuff changes you when you go out and you're helping people that need help. And when you're trying to help, here's the biggest thing. They want to do it themselves. This is what they were raised. They're veterans. They've been raised and trained to do this. And it's not working. And sometimes it's hard to be able to help. You have to get them to accept help, and it's not easy to do. It's never easy to do. And anything that we can do to help is worth it. We went to their gala that they had. It was nice to listen to everybody and the speeches and everything people do. You got to get hands-on. And, you know, we kind of do that from, you know, talking about it on the radio. We try to go there. We try to do things. And I don't do enough. I need to do more. You just have to find time. And that's a horrible excuse. I need to find time. No, just make time and go help. If that's not your cause, find a cause and go help. Because it seems, I mean, I'm coming in here today and I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of positive things out there. You know, there's things to talk about, but there's just some crazy stuff going on. So I thought I'd start there, and then we'll try to work our way up to maybe being in a better place, in a better mood. Once again, we have All-Star break coming up, home run hitting contest tonight. It's almost to a point now that listening to some of the different shows, CBS, ESPN, I tried to Fox a little bit today. Trying to think back to when I was growing up, and you got the All-Star game, and it was baseball on TV, and it didn't happen a lot, especially until when we got cable, which I'm trying to think how old I was when cable, 12, 13 maybe. when MTV and ESPN and all these things started coming in. Before, you just had, you had four stations. And, you know, baseball was sacred. It was sacred to all of us. I shot a basketball around, played a little bit of basketball, but baseball was everything for all of us growing up. I don't care if we were playing with three people on each team, double or nothing. You know, you hit it here, it's an out. You hit it there, it's an out. I mean, all the things that we did trying to just be competitive at baseball at a very young age. I am a baseball fanatic, and will always be that way. And the All-Star game used to mean something. It meant a lot. I mean, people, they were ready to go fisticuffs in All-Star games. When you had people like Pete Rose, he'd barrel you over in an All-Star game. People didn't like that. Well, I guarantee you people like that a lot more than what they do now, when, you know, you see it, you see somebody that you vote in, and I know that this is horrible, that, you know, making a ton of money. And I get it. They make a ton of money because owners and TV stations and all of that make a lot of money off of them. But back in the 1970s and the 1980s, they weren't playing for money because they weren't making that much. I mean, they were making a lot of money for back then, but it's nowhere near what the money is nowadays. I mean, I heard someone today say that Shohei Ohtani is a $60-$80 million a year guy. And you think about that. I thought about that long and hard today on my drive over here. Some of the best pitchers in the league, $40-$50 million a year. Gerrit Cole, he's right at that. Going to start the All-Star game on Tuesday night. Some of the best home run here, Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts. You can keep going down the list. Make $50-$60 million. What should a person who is one of the best pitchers in the league and one of the best hitters in the league and the best home run hitter in the league, what is he worth? And listening to the radio shows today. See, I'm trying to start positive today instead of starting negative, because I got some really negative stuff that's just eating at me. I'm listening today, and they're, people are trying to describe him, and then people are trying to downgrade him. Well, he can't be worth $100 million a year. And then you start listening to people. So where he's from, the dollar amount just in that, with his home roots, and then you add in how he plays, how well he plays, and that it's the two greatest things in baseball, if you ask me. Now, my third would be seeing a great defensive play, but that doesn't even register anymore. I mean, a diving catch, grabbing a home run away, a double play. I mean, all those things gets me excited. But listen, if you can throw hard and strike people out, and on top of that, you can lead the league in home runs, and you're fast, and you're good on the base pass, and if he wanted to play in the outfield, he could. You just don't, because he's a pitcher. He is a unicorn. That would be like Tom Brady, and he also is one of the greatest kickoff return men of all time. You know, just something that far-fetched. I'm trying. See, I can't even do it in basketball, because, or you know, do it this way: be a Steph Curry and you average 40 points with 10 threes a game, but you also average 20 rebounds, and you lead the league in 3-point shooting. That's what Shohei Ohtani is. Football, the closest thing that football has to him was Deion Sanders, because Deion Sanders could play receiver, Deion Sanders could play safety or corner, and he returned punts and returned kickoffs. Deion Sanders was a unicorn. There wasn't very many of him. Charles Woodson, a little bit. mean, there's just not a lot of that. And there's not any of that now, except for him. If he played baseball in this country growing up, he wouldn't be who he is. Because it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit in what we need. You're not going to go. The number one guy, number one or number two guy today that got drafted in Major League Baseball draft, or it might have been yesterday. He's a good outfielder. Really a great outfielder. Or a good offensive player. Yeah, I'm going to make my money pitching. He's not even thinking about, now I don't know if he has that kind of talent. But they're not thinking that in high school. You regulate people in high school. I had one. We had when my youngest son played at Downing, we had three or four of them that played in the field, hit, and threw. But it wasn't going to be what they were going to do in college. There's not enough time in the day. I remember the first phone call. Dad, I can't do both practices. It's too much. It's 6 hours. I don't have time. So Shohei Ohtani is doing that in a time frame that is, you know, it's not supposed to be working that way. I mean, everything goes against that. It has to take away. I guarantee you that the front office of the Angels is trying to figure out, you know, is this our best plan, or do we have him just do one? Because if he's DH'ing and he gets hurt in the field, then we lose our best pitcher. And if something happens while he's pitching, you lose the home run leader in the American League. You know, last year it was an anomaly, right? You're like, whoo, man, look at all this stuff he can do. That's pretty cool. But that's all the farther it went, because he was good at one and really, really good at one. And now this year, learning, going through everything, going through this, he's excellent on hitting and hitting home runs. And he's excellent at pitching. I don't know what else he has to do to make everybody believe in that. But that's, you know, so that's trying to put some good thoughts out there. I'm trying to see if I can find any other good thoughts that we can talk about in this first hour. So then I can turn to maybe some not so some good things. Victor Wembanyama, his first game. I think it was Friday night, because I don't think I talked about it on the show. If it was Thursday night and I talked a little bit about it. He looked out of sorts, and it's summer league, so it's mostly first year players. Some of these teams have second year players that are down playing as well. I'll talk about that a little bit later too. He looked a little lost, and I kid you not that there were three referees on the court, and they might as well have been playing football. So, what happens when you see someone like Wembanyama? Here's what happens. Oh my gosh, he's a bust. He's just tall. He's no good. I'm like, okay, he's playing with kids he's never seen before. They've never played together. They've barely practiced. And he wasn't going to come out and score 30 points a game. You just, the other team, these are young kids trying to make it. They're not going to allow that to happen. They're going to try to do everything. And they weren't calling fouls. It was rough. He got pushed around. Every time he tried to set a screen, they bumped through, knocked him down, did whatever they could do. It's just, you know, so everybody got to do what they wanted to do. If you wanted to, if you still held him in high regard, you got to say, listen, it's his first game. He himself said, man, I was a little lost out there. You get into the rhythm, you're going, I'm out of breath, I'm all this stuff, I'm anxious, all these things. Or you get the haters in this who are saying, man, that is a wasted draft pick. He's no good. I'm like, okay. He has a wingspan of almost, it's unreal. I saw him in two different games, in three or four, five different clips, standing at the free throw line, jumping and extending and blocking, or either blocking or deflecting three-point shots. There's nobody else in the league that can do that. I seen him grab a ball, put it in between his dribble from behind through his legs, and make a no-look pass to a guy cutting to the rim for a hoop, for a dunk. 7-3. There's nobody in the league that's doing that. I'll talk a little bit more about Victor as well. I've got Bob Huggins stuff. I have Northwestern. I have Pat Fitzgerald. I have all this stuff going on. So a little negativity is going to be coming in this next segment because it's needed. Because I think our world's starting to turn upside down in some of these places, and I don't understand it, and I don't know how, you know, I don't know how some of these things are happening. And I'll give you my thoughts on, I mean, this goes back to everything that we've been talking about, name, image, and likeness, recruiting, transfer portal, and all this other stuff. It's a mess, but maybe not for the reasons that you think. I'm going to tell you that it's a mess. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. And happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. We are a Minnesota Twins affiliate. We have Minnesota Twins. So after, so home run contest tonight, all-star game, day off, travel day. Back into things on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They are at Oakland Athletics, and then next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they will go from there up the West Coast to Seattle to play the Mariners. So you can always check out your Minnesota Twins baseball, and just so everybody remembers, Minnesota Twins baseball. Get ready, man. We are like, what are we? It's not even going to be that long, but 21 days before we start talking NFL football. For real reals, but we are a Kansas City Chief affiliate. We are also a UNI Panther affiliate and very excited about all of them. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on, taking care of your personal, business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, two in Ankeny, one in Ames, three locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the Big Buzz blog. Man, that's Scotty's job right there. For their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience, all this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. I want to thank Northwestern. I don't want to thank Northwestern. I'm getting ready not to want to even talk about Northwestern. Northwest Bank. Great bank. Just finished up doing my home loan there. I'm very excited. Okay. So, a couple of things, and I want to mention one nice thing, and I have to, because it's just the rest of the stuff's just eating me up. But last week, and it was on Friday, was Jimmy and Rosalind Carter's 77th wedding anniversary. 77 years, folks. Wow, that is unbelievable. And I always, 1976, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, after all the things that happened with Richard Nixon and all of that, and Watergate and blah blah, 1976, I was 11 years old and was sort of, I'm trying to think, fifth grade, sixth grade? I have no idea. Fifth grade, sixth grade, whatever. In government class, we started talking about elections and presidents and voting and all these things. And even at an early age, which I hope they still do. Our school system did a really good job of doing that. I'm a local kid, grew up in, I would say it wrong. I grew up in Mitchellville. We call it Mitchellville. Went to Southeast Polk. Our teacher, I mean, government played a big part in everything I did in high school. And I enjoyed that part. I love politics. I loved politics up until like the last 6-7 years when you couldn't go work for somebody or you couldn't go somewhere and talk about ideals and ideas without getting shouted down by somebody else who didn't agree with that. So I don't do it as much. I miss that. I'm a very political person. And from all different sides. I'm a unicorn when it comes to my political preferences because I have a lot of different things that my parents were very, very, very Democrat, liberal, union people. And I was not. And so I went to the other side to see what they had to offer. And then I met a bunch of people and I'm like, yeah, I don't like that either. So I always tried to stay in the middle, trying to find some even ground between the two. And that doesn't work anymore either. But it did work for Jimmy Carter and his lovely wife, Rosalynn Carter. 77 years. That is incredible. Okay, we spent a little bit of time. We spent a little bit of time on the Northwestern issues, and I'm going to do it this segment. I'll have to repeat just a little bit in another segment just to overview again, and I hate to do this, but I have some really strong feelings, and it also came on a day where someone like Larry Nassar, who was the sports doctor who was sexually molesting young girls, was stabbed like 8 times in jail. Pity. But getting back to the Northwestern, just all the stuff that's going on. And I think on Thursday and Friday, maybe even me to a certain extent, I don't know if all the facts are out. I don't know if all the individuals, I mean, for me, horrifically, having to go out and explain things like hazing and stuff like that and some of the things that happened to these young men. It's not something that you walk out and go, okay, give me 6-7 reporters and I'll sit here and I'll talk to you about it. It's come on, folks. It's just not, it doesn't work that way. And I have a hard time. I have a hard time understanding, some of the things about athletes, coaches, athletic directors, presidents of universities. One of the first things, and it's no different than when you send your kids to school. You send your kids to school to be safe and learn. And when horrific stuff happens, you take a step back and you go, what the heck? This is not what they should be witnessing, undergoing, none of that. It's not fun. I don't even know if I've told this. I probably have. I went to Southeast Polk, 1984, last day of school for seniors. We had a murder-suicide. It's not a fun way to end your high school. It's not a fun way in 2 days to have to graduate. None of that. I've coached for the last 20 years. I have 13 and 14 year old boys that their parents drop them off and expect our coaching staff to work with them, make them better men, better athletes, better all of that. Not even an inkling of thinking about other things. You send your kids off to high school. Less participation from parents, more participation from coaching and teaching. And you hear the stuff that happens, and you're like, what the heck? And then you send your kids off to college, either for an education, for athletics, a combination of the two. And what do? I expect that they get treated how they're supposed to be treated, and they enjoy their experience. What happens when the experience turns ugly? Because what is coming out right now from Northwestern is, I'm sorry, it's frightening. And that does not mean that, okay, let me take a step back. Because I might have been, I think I was more harsh on Northwestern than I was on specific, but I guess I got called out some on coach. And maybe I was. My thought process is that this the things that are happening need to be explained and stop all the minutia part of should he be fired or should you need to figure out what happened. So I came in here today thinking, okay, I said some stuff, maybe shouldn't have. I'm just like, my first response is, I don't care what happened. It's his program. He's responsible. Now, I think there's many people in that general area that are responsible. But if someone had come to the university and had complained about this, and you're just like, you go, you check it out and say, yep, none of this happened, then you didn't do your due diligence, because that's the way this happens. The talk today was, well, who's responsible? And one of the craziest stories of all that I've seen today and heard today is the assistant athletic director is leaving for another job. And I'm like, okay, if the athletic director and the assistant athletic director and the football coach didn't know what was going on in one of their programs, number one, who's hiring this guy? And number two, even if it happened once and it wasn't handled correctly, it's a fireable offense, unless somebody can throw something out there and say he really didn't know about it. I'm not buying, because I'm not buying that a young man or a young woman. I am buying. What are they supposed to do? Do you think that's something that you just wholeheartedly go, you know what, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my parents? That's a big assumption, folks. Some of the things they talked about today that you can't talk about on the radio are some pretty horrific things. Who do you go talk to? The one person you should be able to go talk to is somebody on the coaching staff or someone in the athletic department to say, hey, I'm not safe. And that didn't happen. You don't think that people at Penn State didn't know what Jerry Sandusky was doing? Do you really deep down inside think that Joe Paterno didn't know that Jerry Sandusky had issues? Do you really think that Larry Nassar, that people didn't understand that he had issues and they were affecting everything? And yet nobody did anything about them. And I'm sitting here telling you, I've never been in this situation. But as God is my witness, by damn it, I would do something. The fact that we, I mean, I'm thinking about, I was in eighth grade. I had two of the best coaches in eighth grade that you could ever, I had Linda Harris and Fritz Morris. My parents didn't have to worry about anything. I didn't worry about anything. Once you get to high school, it's different. It's a lot more kids. It's a lot more people. A lot more time. If you're a school administrator, a college administrator, a college president, a college athletic director, coaches from other coaching areas in the school, different coaching staffs, if you heard something or know something and you don't report, you're just as guilty. And the fact that everything on social media is, well, he's a really good football coach. And, you know, this is going to hurt the football program. And, you know, how can we get to a bowl game? We already had two down years. How's that going to get better? How's this going to, who cares? These are somebody's lives that have been ruined. At least ruined for a while. They'll come back tougher than hell. But this isn't something you just... The stuff Jerry Sandusky did. And nobody? Nobody. Still denying and all of that until they couldn't do it anymore. And it's still happening. It happened to the gymnast, and it's still happening. And if you think it's only happened in Northwestern, you're crazy. So as a parent, man, you better get to know these people a lot better than what we did. I didn't do my due diligence. Not that anything happened, but I did not do any. I'm just like, okay, man, you got him and you take care of him. And that was it. What a bad thing. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I'll be back. Last segment of this first hour. Be right back. Monday. I almost said Friday. I'm like, wow, the week's over. No, it's not. But welcome back in. Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins baseball, they get a break tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Home run contest tonight, well, actually Thursday as well. Home run hitting contest tonight, game, off day, travel day, ready to go. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Twins Athletics. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Twins Mariners. Twins just need to keep. They need to keep plugging along. There is no division and no team that's out. I mean, there might be a couple of teams that are out, but still a mass amount of people are still in this. Just got to start playing a little bit better, especially at home. So we'll keep them in our hearts and in our minds for those Minnesota Twins. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs programs and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Woodman Controls. Couldn't do these shows without them. Okay, so apologize for that. It's very frustrating for someone who enjoys athletics as much as I do, athletes as much as I do, and you constantly have to hear about stuff like this. in different situations. And it's just, it's a continuation of, you know, you just can't let this stuff happen. The amount of time, effort, and energy that these young athletes put into their sport. And then stuff like this happens. There has to be a way to clean this up and to take care of it. And my issue sometimes, and I know this isn't, it's probably more widespread than people know, but it's not as widespread as things. The issues that I have sometimes is the amount of time that coaches in general sometimes, you know, NIL, it's horrible for the sport. Name, image, and likeness, it's horrible for the sport. But for coaches to get astronomical amount of money outside of football doing commercials or doing talk shows or doing all that, but student athletes, no, we can't let them do that. I mean, that's where this got upside down. The amount of money that coaches are making in these sports is where we got upside down. And when somebody finally figures out that, hey, you know what, we can turn the tables on these, and we can work our way through this, then they turn on the student athletes on that too. So I don't know what all needs to be done, but something has to be done, because we can't continue down this path. We can't have one of these stories happen and then get angry and then let it go, because football, you know, football season is, for college football fans, 50 days away, if that many. And Northwestern wins their first game, nobody's going to care what coach did. Some of us will care. Some of us will say, that's not right. You have a responsibility. Your son and daughter, when you send them off to college, sign up. They sign up to be in the athletic program. They sign up to be in the university. The university is now in charge. And I expect safety to be a huge part of that. And I don't think it's happening. And I think it is an issue, and it's not going to get any better. Just a couple of other quick things. Michelle Wee played in her last major. You know, she's been often injured. Played a lot of golf when she was young. Very good phenom, one of the first female to play in a male tournament. Annika Sorensen then did it. There's some others that are probably going to give it a try as well. Women's golf isn't where women's golf is right now, especially with all of the different nationalities and all the people participating Michelle, we had something to do with that. Tiger Woods had something to do with that. All of this bringing in a different type of age group, minority group, female golfing just bursting at the seams. It's has a lot to do with who was out there playing and how you connected with them, and the women's golfers. They're looking for that next person that somebody can go, yeah, I want to be her. And to be really honest, these younger male and female golfers and how well they're playing at such a young age, man, it is incredible how different and how big a deal all of that is. And it's something that's bringing golf to a whole different level, to a whole different generation, to a whole different, I mean, all of us, we sit around now. We sat around at the wedding this weekend. We played, and the reason that we were all there, we played basketball, football, and baseball together from the time they were 10 years old. And to a one of us right now, if we knew what we knew now, we probably all would have been golfing. There's nothing more enjoyable than being in a foursome with my boys playing golf. And when Jen's with us, it's even better. And it wasn't as big a deal. Not that many. I think the other sports were easier, right? Easier to get court time, easier to do. I mean, that's always, well, you'd have had to join a country club and that would have been expensive. I'm like, I had three boys play baseball, football, and basketball organized from the time they were seven until they were 18. You don't think after all that I could afford a country club? Come on. It just was, we weren't thinking that way. It wasn't as prevalent. Now, Tiger Woods has a ton to do with that. But it's just, it wasn't out there. I mean, golf coaches in high school had to go try to find people to get on the golf team. It's my wife's favorite joke about herself. I was on the golf team. I shouldn't have been on the golf team. I wasn't good enough. She'd be good enough now. But they needed people, and she wanted to be outdoors. But that is, Michelle Wee has a lot to do with that. I talked a little bit about this on Friday with Sabrina Ionescu and Kobe Bryant being on the NBA and WNBA basketball games for EA Sports. I watched her play this weekend. We had just went to the wedding. We're waiting for their reception. We were at the Hilton downtown, and we were watching it on TV. She's really good. She's fun. I mean, the game was fun to watch. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea yet. It's going to get there. I really, really think it's going to get there. But I don't know. It's a part of the name, image, and likeness as well. But probably this is the first time that I think it's just one more person, one more female athlete getting on one of those. They're on some of the soccer games. They're on some of that. It's going to change things. It's hard. It's hard to change things. It's hard to change things in a country where male sports have dominated for a long time. And it's just people can bury their heads in the ground and say, well, nobody's going to watch and nobody listens and nobody follows and nobody. And it could be in the place that you're at that's true. But there's places it's not. I know places in college that you can't get in to watch gymnastics because there's too many people in there. I seen crowds at AAU basketball games this weekend. Ava Zediker, Dowling Catholic, kind of following in Caitlin Clark's footsteps, playing for a championship. It's exciting stuff. Caitlin's going to change things. Sabrina's changing things. Michelle Wee changed things. Somebody, it's going to keep happening, and it's going to keep changing, and it's great for sports. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. First segment down. Drive home for you all. Be safe. Be cautious. A lot of construction going on, too. So be extra safe. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day. Right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website is 1700thechamp.com. Twins baseball. Home run hitting contest tonight. All-star game. Rest day. Travel day. Friday. Everybody back in action. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Twins at Athletics. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Twins at Mariners. So they jump right back in. Maybe in this segment here, we'll do a little Major League Baseball talk. I got the first one up here. We're going to talk about the Home Run Derby tonight. I think it's the best thing of the All-Star break, and see what everybody thinks about that. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provide quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, and provide a peace of mind in protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Okay, so the I'm kind of staring at it here. It is the home run hitting contest tonight. I love it. I think it's fun. It's fun in here. So Adley Rutschman, I guess as he was about 8 years old, the first time he and his dad talked about teaming up in a home run derby. That kind of stuff is pretty exciting. So you have some different people in what can make them win, not win, but Adolis Garcia, right-handed hitter, Texas Rangers, and he's going to hit some bombs tonight. The problem is you can't pick someone like him to win it overall because it's too much. He just has so much power and he gets so much into it. I think the same can be said about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. If he gets hot early, and he can get a couple of cheap ones, maybe he may have a shot. Randy Arozarena, they were with the Garcia that we talked about first. They were bookends on a Cuban team, and he's with the St. Louis. They were in the St. Louis Cardinal organization together. Once again, it's they've never done it before, so I have a hard time with there. Here's the person, if you're betting tonight, here's the person you bet on. Pete Alonso. He can just hit home runs. He's not, I mean, he can hit a ticker tape home run, but he can just hit home runs, especially in this type of contest. Mookie Betts, once again, he may win a round or two. It's just, he's just not, I don't think he's used to doing everything that it takes to do that. Lewis Roberts Jr., kind of same thing. He plays on the White Sox. I mean, he can hit some bombs as well. Julio Rodriguez has a shot. I think that he may make it into the finals. So I'm putting mine on. I'm going to put mine on Julio Rodriguez, Pete Alonso, and my sleeper is going to be Adley Rutschman. I think that's going to be my sleeper. It's also here's really funny. I also think it's going to be this Pete Alonso. This might be the only reason. I think it's going to be a left-handed hitter, but maybe not. But it's I think it's the most fun. The All-Star game, I think the introductions at All-Star game are fun. The first couple of innings at the All-Star game are fun, and then all the people that were voted in to start, they're going to sit down in a couple innings. If you want to see some young guys, listen. The Major League Baseball is becoming a young man's league. You have some super, super stars, and they're not going away, folks. And it's going to be a ton of fun to watch some of these young men, and how they perform. You know, when you're looking at Major League Baseball right now, you know, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have six teams that are really in the Kansas City Royals, the Oakland Athletics, the Washington Nationals. I want to say the Cardinals because they're 11.5, but I think they're still in. And the Colorado Rockies are 18 out. you know, I don't think there's a lot of hope for them. And you have a lot of these teams, I have a hard time. Let's take the American League East, for example. You have the Tampa Bay Rays, the Baltimore Orioles, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the New York Yankees, and you might as well say the Boston Red Sox. They're all over 500. At some point in time, you would think that the youth on the Tampa Bay Rays, the Orioles, and the Rays are going to struggle. You know, looking at some of the statistics out there, none of them have really gone on big losing streaks. None of them have, you know, like Baltimore Orioles right now and the Boston Red Sox are on 5-game winning streaks. All their run differential works for them. I think the American League East and the National League West might be the two best divisions, but I don't know. The Central, this is the one that's going to be fun to see, and this is why I keep talking about my Minnesota Twins. Our issue is that in the Central Division, so you have Cleveland, Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, White Sox, and Kansas City Royals. Every team in that division has a run differential in the negative except for the Minnesota Twins. They're plus 27. But the Minnesota Twins have lost 3 in a row. They've been 5-5 in their last 10. And they're atrocious on the road. Not atrocious. They're 19-24 on the road. They're 26-22 at home. It depends on who you think is going to go out and get help. And I don't think that's the Tigers, and I don't think that's the White Sox, and they're quite a bit down. So I don't, you know, they're not out of it because the Cleveland Guardians are 45-45. The Twins are 45-46. I think that's going to be between the Guardians and the Twins, and I think the Twins are going to win that because I think they're willing to go out and do things. In the American League West, the Rangers, the Astros, and the Mariners are all within 6 games. The Angels are within 7. The Angels have some injuries. One of those, Texas, Houston, or the Los Angeles Angels, somebody's going to make a deal. And if you listen today to different shows, everybody's trying to figure out what the Angels are going to do with Shohei Ohtani. His contract's coming up. It's going to be the biggest contract. It might be the biggest contract of any sport. It may actually overtake a couple of soccer guys. There are people that do baseball more than I do baseball that says, you know what? The Angels should trade him, get some prospects, maybe get a couple of, you know, get a couple of pitching prospects, maybe one situational player. And then at the end of the season, go back in and do everything you can to sign him, to re-sign him. If somebody out there is a 60 million or 80 million or I think he could be a $100 million guy. Because you have to take in all, I mean, his overseas money and the money, he just, it's amazing what can happen with him. He's a unicorn. Unicorns get paid. That's just the way it is. Atlanta Braves are the best team in baseball. And I think they have dollars. And they have that mindset. They're 8.5 games up. I think they need to be on their toes. I think they get to keep playing. I wouldn't count out the Phillies. They're 48-41. They're 12 back. The Miami Marlins are 8.5 back. At some point in time, some of those young kids are going to struggle. I think the Philadelphia Phillies have a chance. And then you have the New York Mets, who have a huge payroll. They're 18.5 games out. Do they spend more money to get better players? Do they cut players? Do they trade players? I don't think they can do it during the season. And we talked about there's only like 5 teams that Ohtani can go to that have that type of money. That's a lot. I mean, that's a $500 million contract. That's a lot. The Cincinnati Reds are 50-41. They're playing really good baseball. They're dynamic to watch right now. Just incredibly dynamic to watch. De La Cruz on this weekend, beating out like an infield hit, steals second, steals third, steals home in the same inning. He is electrifying. His home runs are electrifying. Everything about him is electrifying. It's a great thing for the Cincinnati Reds. Can they keep it up throughout the season? You gotta hold Milwaukee. They're a game. Milwaukee's a game back, and the Cubs are seven. Another one of these divisions. The Chicago Cubs are the only person in the Central Division in the National League that has scored more runs than they've given up. That's an incredible statistic. How many? There are 15, 30 teams in the MLB, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Almost half the teams have a negative, a lot of negative differential in their run scoring. This isn't my, 10-year ago baseball where you have five teams that are just far and away above, have far and away more money, because it's not the way it is anymore. There's still 10 teams in Major League Baseball that aren't spending one third of what everybody else is, but some still have success. It's a difficult time, but I think once you see and you go through and you walk through all of this, you have to stick with people that have been there before. So in the National League, you stick with the Braves. You stick with the Phillies. Yeah, I have no idea in the Central. I guess I'm going to, because I don't, the Cardinals are 11, they're 14 games under 500. That's a lot. I don't know if the Cardinals can come back. I think the Brewers have the best chance there. I think the Dodgers will win in the West. I think the Astros will catch the Rangers. God, the White Sox are 8 games back. I think the Twins are going to win the Central. And I actually think that Tampa Bay can win the East. And then you got a bunch of teams fighting for wild cards that'll make it fun. It'll make the trade deadline fun. It'll make all that fun. But it is if you're a baseball fan, it's a fun time to be watching baseball. Watch the home run hitting contest tonight. It's a bunch of young people. It's going to be exciting. Going to a baseball game is still exciting. I know a lot of people don't. It's not as exciting to watch a baseball game on TV than it is to go see it. And I think that's the difference between some of the other sports. It's fun to watch NFL, and it's fun to watch NCAA on TV. But it's fun to be there. It's fun going to NBA games. It's amazing. There is nothing in hockey. It's not that it's a negative to watch hockey on TV, because I think it's fascinating to watch hockey on TV. It's nowhere near as much fun as it is to go see it in person. I mean, not even close to go do that. I had another quick thought here in these last 3 minutes to talk about Victor Wembanyama, because I didn't finish it up in that first part, and I got carried away with some of the football stuff. They shut him down for the rest of the summer league because they don't want to get him hurt. I think 3 out of the top 10 picks have already had some type of injury, so they want to be careful. For those people that are thinking he's no good because he can't play well here, okay, if you watched any of the games, they don't run an offense. They don't play defense. They switch on everything. They screen and roll. That's all they do. Or they dribble hard to the hole. Or they run fast breaks, even though they don't make buckets. You don't have Greg Popovich coaching him. And you don't have 5 NBA veterans around him while he's there playing. He's going to be just fine. I mean, you see people that have been in the league. Keegan Murray played 3 games in summer league, averaged 38 points a game. Jabari Smith, probably a lot of people gave him a huge shot at being rookie of the year, did not have a good year last year. Played a really roller coaster of a year. That now they come back and they're playing and they're dominating these games because none of these guys know how to play NBA basketball. That's what training camp's for. This is for a bunch of coaches to have their drafted players, their undrafted players, and people they want to look at and see if they're going to make a roster enough to see if before you get ready for the season, if you can be on that first roster. I mean, there's a lot of these guys that are never going to play in the NBA. Once again, I'm going to tell you the reason that Victor Wembanyama is going to play in the NBA, and it has nothing to do with offense. It has everything to do for defense. He was in the middle of the lane, protecting the lane, and someone pulled up to hit a three-pointer from the top of the key, and he strided out and jumped and didn't totally block the shot, tipped the shot right behind him. They pick it up, and they go down, and they get a layup. He's 10 feet tall when he gets his arms up and he's jumping. That's not something that you can coach, teach. It's just natural. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Two more segments, ton to talk about. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Hope everybody had a good Monday. Man, it flew by today. I got too much stuff to do. Crazy times. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter's at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Minnesota Twins. We are a Minnesota Twins affiliate. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they have the Athletics. They're in Oakland. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're at Seattle. Do a little West Coast trip. So they're going to be gone for a while. This segment is going to be brought to you by For the Homeless Veterans. It's a golf outing. Join us in serving those who serve for us. It's Monday, July 31st. The Legacy Golf Club, Norwalk, Iowa. Central Iowa Shelter and Services, CISS, is hosting their fifth annual For Homeless Veterans Golf Outing, benefiting the homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with us in our emergency shelter. It's a round of 18 holes in support of Central Iowa Shelter and Services. You can get a team together. It's $600 for a four-person team. It includes 18 holes, golf cart, banquet meal, two drink tickets, player, raffle, and prizes. You can be a sponsor. If you're listening to the show, you want to do a sponsorship because it's something that hits you, let's do it, and we'll figure it out. It's $250 a hole. It gets you a sponsorship sign at a designated hole on the course. And here's what it does, folks. Your support goes a long way. By participating in this event, you are supporting a mission to provide homeless veterans an opportunity to grow, rebuild, and find their dignity again. The funds raised help to maintain all 150 beds at the emergency shelter, provide street outreach, and cook 600 nutritious meals each day. For many of our veterans, these services are the first step towards stability and self-sufficiency. Help us out, folks. It's a great cause. Melissa's a rock star. Eric Mangold's the rock star. Scott and I enjoy doing it, and we're going to keep on. Okay, so today, a couple of different radio shows, Dan Patrick, and I can't remember who I was listening to. I can't even remember what station I was listening to, but they were talking. So the Pac-12. The Pac-12 still doesn't have a TV contract. They've been looking for a TV contract since this same date in 2022 through 2023, and they still don't have that. They know that they are losing USC and UCLA after this year. That is the majority of their, I mean, it is a, if you want to say it's a conference of four, I would give that to you. Stanford, Oregon, USC, UCLA. I think you have to throw Washington in there. You may have to throw Utah in there, Colorado. They've had success. recent success, at least in football. But losing USC and UCLA, losing that part of California, losing the, you know, when you're looking, right? So now I say that the University of Oregon is a good place because of it has Nike money. Well, Nike money is not TV money. Washington and Washington State, when if you break down revenue based on sports, I mean, it's just not a big, Colorado's not, they're hoping Dion can change that. Utah is just not. It's not, when you take a look and you grab those teams. Now listen, the Big 12, look, losing Oklahoma and Texas hurts. And it hurts for a different reason than what everybody, they're the best team in the Big 12 in all sports. No, they're not. And they haven't been for a while. But they do have big TV and they do have big fan bases. So you're going to miss that part. BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, Houston, one-on-one against those two teams, and I'm not talking about in sports, I'm just talking about in money, none of them can compete. Getting those four schools in and keeping us afloat to see what happens down the road saved the Big 12. So the Pac-12, in doing all this, is now looking at what they can do. And this was Dan and Dan Patrick, and this is all Dan Patrick. His sources are really, really good. He's been doing this a really long time. His sources say that the Pac-12 wants to replace Washington, or man, wow, what a day. USC and UCLA. And here is the four teams: San Diego State, SMU, Boise, and UNLV. Okay, so if you take a step back and you look at where you're at sports-wise and where you're at dollar-wise in each one, taking away gymnastics at certain places at almost all the places across the country, leaving that one out, and only taking men's and women's basketball and football. Just taking those three sports. San Diego State gets you one-third. SMU might get you one-third. Boise, UNLV. It's just not. Listen, so you take what the Big 12 did, and you bring in BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and Houston. At some point in time in the last 5 years, if not, I mean, in any part of that, one through the last 5 years, those teams have all had winning football records and made it, I mean, not into, in high-end bowl games. And then you throw in basketball on top of that. I mean, even in basketball, those four are stronger than that. It's a difficult, I mean, the one thing that does, it keeps everybody in a time zone. The thing that I didn't think the Pac-12 could do, they couldn't go outside that time zone and have it be money worth being spent, was my thought process. You know, for the SEC to pull in Texas and Oklahoma, listen, the reason all of this started, everything started in how it started being, how the some people were playing checkers and other people were playing chess. The Longhorn Network is what started all this. The ability to go out and get money for a product that I think everybody thought would not succeed in the long run, which it has not. The Longhorn Network is not what I think Texas thought it could or might be. But it gave them an opportunity to do something that a lot of these other schools couldn't. Oklahoma has winning on their side. So when you take away those two programs, now the interesting thing is we've now known that for 2 years, and Oklahoma and Texas have been irrelevant in the Big 12. Maybe not as much in basketball, but in football, irrelevant. Where on the other hand, Kansas, K-State, TCU, they're not. Now, for the Big 12, I still think you have to go out and get teams. I still think they're going to try to get Gonzaga to come in and be basketball. I still have no idea in the world why they haven't reached out to Memphis. You get a medium to higher end football program and a great basketball program with a high priority name. And I think that helps you. When it's all said and done, I don't even think right now it's not even a contest. If you're going to have three conferences, you're going to have the Big Ten, you're going to have the SEC, and you're going to have the Big 12, and then everybody else is going to have to jump on. The Pac-12 is not overtaking the Big 12 with what it has left. The ACC is not taking over the SEC or Big Ten or the Big 12 in all the sports. I mean, they're struggling trying to keep up their advantage of having the highest end of basketball. And I'll tell you something else that'll make my son's blood boil and a lot of other people. When you're going through and you're looking at these teams, if you're not taking into your decision where some of these women's basketball, women's gymnastics, women's whatever, soccer, any of those things, if you're not taking that into the equation, you're missing out. You're not understanding the whole picture. Because if it's not because they're not raising enough revenue, I'm telling you, if they can't do it one way, they're going to do it another way, and they'll start bringing in revenue for them to build up their revenue. And I'm not opposed to that. It's been just as uneven a playing field in women's and men's collegiate sports. And everybody says, well, one, they watch more than one. It's because it's always been skewed that way. So you can't put that into the equation to say, well, you can't get to point C and just from point A to point C, you just can't get there because you have to go through B to get there. If the same, I mean, you're talking about 2 years ago in the women's NCAA, they were sitting on folding chairs and eating off their laps in places. It's not the way it is anymore, and it's not the way it's going to be. Some of the most exciting basketball was played in the NCAA women's tournament, and it's going to be that way again this year. It's going to be again that way the following year, and it's going to be that way the following year after that, because now you're seeing the Alea Bostons and the Caitlin Clarks and the Paige Beckers and what they have done from the time they were 12 to where they are now. It's changing. And what Sue Bird and Sabrina and all those guys are doing, it's changing. And I hate to sit here and say that they could mandate change to make it change. And it's going to be interesting because the keeper of the money and the keeper of who gets pushed and who doesn't get pushed is the NCAA. And I'm telling you, folks, for those three conferences that I said, the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Big 12, the NCAA is not going to be in charge of them in the next 5 years. They're going to be in charge of themselves. And that's when you can get real change. It's going to happen. You can't make billions of dollars off collegiate athletes and not have to pay it back at some time. It may not be my kids, but it's going to be my kids' kids. And it's going to be paid back in spades because
it's going to be, it'll be game changing. And that's why, I mean, that's why the NCAA is so tight on gambling and they're so tight on drug use. By God, they need to get tighter on the rest of the stuff we talked about earlier today, or they're going to lose out because people aren't going to put money into something that's not taking care of their athletes. If the NFL would have continued on how they were in the 70s and 80s and how they were treating their NFL players and how they were going about what they were doing, the NFL wouldn't be where it is today. You had to have different people come in and be in charge and figure out how much money are you telling me we can make? Billions? No. Trillions. Trillions of dollars in the next 10 years. On football, television contracts, sports betting, God only knows what else. But if you can't share the pot and you don't know how to make it so everybody can succeed, it's not going to work. I hate sitting here saying I think it's going to break down into three big conferences and then you're going to have what Division I AA is in some sports now. It's just a big conglomeration of other teams competing in other sports. I don't know how you get away from that because the money's going to be too big for the ones that are in the bigger conferences, and it's not going to funnel down, especially in football. The only difference that could ever happen is if something happened to NCAA football that tarnished it some, because NCAA basketball, to a lot of people, is the bread and butter. It's the more fun to watch. It's the more fun to watch all year. It's more competitive. A team, a number nine team in this conference, can beat a number one team in that conference. We've seen it happen. You don't get a lot of a number nine teams beating, you know, number one, number two, number three teams, even in conference. A lot of stuff's going to happen, a lot of stuff's going to change, and I think we, the fans, are going to benefit from that. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One segment left. I will be right back. Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Monday. I don't know if it was a happy Monday. It was a busy Monday. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 the Champ. Facebook's at 1700 the Champ, and the website is 1700thechamp.com. I'll have Friday's podcast and today's podcast. I'll put them up tonight. Where are we at here? Twins. We are a Minnesota Twins affiliate. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Twins and Athletics. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they play the Mariners. Home runs tonight, game tomorrow. Off day, travel day, starting back up again. More than halfway through the season. Big second half of baseball coming up. Can't wait for that. Want to thank all the sponsors today. Four homeless veterans. A golf outing at the Legacy Golf Club Monday, July 31st. Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls in Northwest Bank. We could not do this show without you. Don't want to do this show without them. It's been a crazy, it has been a crazy, crazy, crazy week. I don't think I've talked about this yet. So all the stuff that happened with Bob Huggins, I mean, that was like 2 weeks ago. They've had five people in the transfer portal already left. And he came this weekend, or his lawyer came, sent a letter that Bob Huggins did not resign, did not sign anything saying that he resigned, and he wants his job back, and he wants to be paid. And if they don't, they're going to file a lawsuit against West Virginia. I love Bob Huggins. I think Bob Huggins is a Hall of Fame college basketball coach who's past what he needs to be doing and is probably not a good role model or influencer for a bunch of 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds. I think he's proven that. It doesn't make him a bad person. It just doesn't necessarily give him the right to coach 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-old college students. And then you have Pat Fitzgerald. I get why Pat Fitzgerald has not been out talking. Every lawyer that is alive would tell him to not open his mouth at all. The bad part about that is you get a lot of negative stuff that's probably overhyped. You also have a bunch of positive stuff saying that this is all a hoax and all that. That's probably not true as well. And it's somewhere in the middle. And if it's somewhere in the middle, somebody from Northwestern University, athletic, or just the university, somebody has to do something. Somebody's going to lose their job over this. I'm not quite sure who. I don't know who has the most power. I don't know where everybody stands, but it's not going to work. I said I'm apologizing to my friend T today because I saw this today, and then someone sent it to me, and then another person sent it to me, and another person sent it to me. The Dallas Cowboys are the only franchise to have two quarterbacks play in three or more division round games without ever winning a game. And I double took, and so then I went and looked, and that's not a great thing there. Next season, top payday in sports. If you have the ability to become a high-end NBA player, wow. Steph Curry next year, $51 million. Kevin Durant, $48 million. The Joker, $48 million. LeBron James, $48 million. You getting the trend here? Joel Embiid, $48 million. Bradley Beal, $47 million. Paul George, $46 million. Kawhi Leonard, $46 million. $92 million on the Clippers for 82-game schedule. Even if you combined both of them playing last year, I bet they didn't get to 82. Giannis at 46. What a deal that is. Dame Lillard, 46. Possibly a deal. I may be the one that may be wrong here. I'm not a huge Bradley Beal fan, and I'm not a huge Dame Lillard fan. I think they're good basketball players. I think they're amazing players. I don't think they're $50 million a year amazing players. Jimmy Butler at 45, that's probably a steal. Klay Thompson at 43. I mean, I get Klay Thompson making 43 5 years ago. Is Klay Thompson a $43 million a year guy? But then you look at, I mean, there is nobody that loves Tyrese Halliburton more than I love Tyrese Halliburton. And I think he is going to do wonders for the Indiana Pacers. Now, I still just don't know how good of organization as a whole the Indiana Pacers are. But I also didn't know how good of an organization that the Sacramento Kings were. And the issue for Tyrese was that with Keegan Murray, they kind of played the same type of game. I think the trade worked. I'm a Sabonis fan. I think Sacramento has a chance. It's just the Western Division is deep. I mean, we're saying that the Dallas Mavericks might not make the playoffs, and they have two of the greatest players of all time. It's crazy that we think that way, but you think about just the amount. I mean, the Golden State Warriors payroll next year is over $500 million. And I think you have to pay a cap expense after like $260. They've doubled that. I don't know. That to me, that sounds That sounds like a lot. So just to do this one more time for tonight, my home run, I mean, I think you need to pick someone who is out of the norm. So Randy Arozarena. I'm thinking he plays for Tampa Bay. I'm thinking he may have a shot because I think it's going to be somebody that you don't expect. So that's a good one. I just don't think Vlad Guerrero Jr. can last all the way through. It takes a lot to be able to do that. Pete Alonso is going to make it to the finals because he can hit home runs that go over the wall. If it's three, I mean, you got some guys, Vladdy Guerrero, you have some of these other guys in here that are going to hit moon shots. Mookie Betts is saying he's got no shot. I don't think Mookie Betts is big enough to win a home run hitting contest. I just don't think he's got the strength and the stability to do it, to win multiple rounds. I think Julio Rodriguez, Luis Robert Jr., Pete Alonso, because it's what he does. And I'm going to take, who did I say I was going to take? I'm going to take Randy Arozarena. I'm going to take him. I'm going to see what happens. But if I was a betting man, and you're not getting great odds, but Pete Alonso, that's what he does. He hits home runs for a living, and he's really good at it. We are going to tomorrow, we're going to have to take some time, get back into the National Football League. We're getting close here, folks. I mean, you can start tasting football. I mean, if you look at the college schedule, you are a month and a couple of days away, because they got some early games that are going to be out there. I don't know what I think about that, but it's okay. Tim Tebow is going to own a minor league hockey team. Good for him. Anytime you get Tim Tebow on your side, I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. So last thing, got 30 seconds. Not that I pick on listening to radio. Over the past 2 weeks, a lot of people in this industry have lost their jobs. Not that they're not going to get other jobs. Not that they were paid very well. They ran into a buzzsaw that's called, you know, people aren't in their cars, aren't in their radios, don't, you know, it's a difficult thing. Here's the difficulty that that everybody has, is that when you get rid of someone who's as good as what they were, the people that you have coming in and replacing and doing, man, it was rough listening to some radio today. And that's from somebody who doesn't think I do a very good job either. But it was tough. You're listening to Steen on Sports 101.3 1700 The Champ. Scott and I'll see you tomorrow.